Yeah, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to our earnings call on the first quarter of 2024. Today, I will provide a detailed look into the results from the first quarter. With today's publication, we confirm the guidance for 2024 in the midterm that we have published together with the annual report. First of all, I already presented important elements of our strategy on the analyst conference in March, so you already know key ingredients. We have now unveiled the name, SHAPE30. We recently held an internal kickoff for the strategy, an event for management within the ElringKlinger Group. In starting today's presentation, I will summarize the cornerstones of SHAPE30. Then I will discuss the financial figures in the first quarter and close with a few forward-looking comments on the remainder of fiscal year 2024. At the end, as usual, you will have the opportunity to ask questions, and I am pleased to answer them. To begin with, we are focused on two growth markets, which are the source for further successful development of ElringKlinger. Electrification of mobility and the hydrogen economy are significant drivers within the new strategy. Nevertheless, we have a strong footprint on the ICE business. Our established position there is the backbone for our further transformation. In a nutshell, ICE business is our basis, and e-mobility is our chance and our future. Our purpose is geared towards innovation. We will see ourselves in the center of innovation, and our vision is to be the preferred partner on the market in new innovative technologies. The five success factors are the driving forces to shape the future of the group. These five success factors are the most important factors on the basis of which ElringKlinger will be successful in the future. As such, we have identified sustainability, performance and process excellence, digital transformation, and a modern corporate culture. The most important factor is the one listed here first, product transformation. It is the basis for the group's transformation. Let me elaborate on it briefly. With a clear focus on innovative value-creating products and a coherent strategic approach regarding markets, product groups, and production allocation, we have the target of more than 50% of sales revenues in non-ICE applications by 2030. So the direction is clear. According to projections, battery and fuel cell electric vehicles will be the dominant drivetrain type by the end of the decade. However, the speed of transformation is expected to be different, as shown on the charts. In addition, the value chains are already different, and they're changing, and this implies different opportunities for automotive suppliers. The ElringKlinger Group is transforming successfully. Over the past 3 years, we have received nominations for non-ICE applications of more than 4 billion euro. Not all of this is published, but over the last few years, we have won contracts for a broad range of e-mobility products across the group. Most noteworthy are high-volume contracts like cell contacting systems as well as bipolar plates. However, it is the variety of products in which we received nominations that identify our product portfolio. Product diversification as well as customer diversification will contribute to successful transformation of the group. And as we will execute on nominations, the share of non-ICE revenues will increase. And at the same time, the ICE revenue share are set to decline according to market estimations relative to non-ICE or e-mobility. We understand the ICE business is our strong backbone to financially support the scaling of the non-ICE business. And as I said before, our target for 2030 is to generate more than 50% in non-ICE revenue on group level. I come now to the financial figures of Q1 2024. And here, let me start with orders and sales. Order intake picked up again significantly in Q1, recording a volume of 489.4 million euro. Therefore, we exceeded the substantial order intake of last year's Q1 by 14.5 million euro or 3.1%. Order backlog was up again quarter-on-quarter, coinciding with the strong order intake. It amounted to 1.33 billion euro in Q1 2024. Due to the return to more normal order intake levels over the course of 2023, the figure was down on the Q1 2023 level. Adjusted for currency effects, both order intake and order backlog would have been slightly higher. Coming to sales revenues, after a record sales level in Q1 2023, ElringKlinger generated revenues of 465.3 million euro in the first quarter. This revenue development is to be seen against the backdrop of challenging conditions for the market as a whole. According to industry service provider S&P Global Mobility, global automotive production declined by 0.8% in the first three months of 2024 and by as much as -2.5% in Europe, the strongest market in terms of our revenue basis. Without currency effects, group revenue in the first quarter was behind the prior year figure by 3.8%. Now we come to the sales mix. The ElringKlinger Group has a quite balanced sales distribution among business units, while the OE segment makes up the largest fraction of group sales revenues, accounting in total for 73% of the group's sales. In the first quarter, revenue changes and call-off volumes from customers had an effect. Challenging market conditions, as outlined before, were evident in the OE segment business units. On the other hand, the revenue of the E-Mobility business unit showed growth year-over-year with revenue from new series production orders in the area of battery technology also contributing to this. For the aftermarket segment, the growth strategy is taking effect. The segment saw a further increase in revenue compared to Q1 2023 and now makes up 19% of group sales. On a regional basis, revenues in Q1 were generated mainly in Europe, accounting for 53% in sales in Germany and the rest of Europe together, followed by North America with a 26% share, Asia-Pacific with 15%, and South America and the rest of the world representing 6%. The regional revenue dynamics roughly reflected the market developments. Light vehicle production in the first quarter 2024 was globally down -0.8%, in Europe -2.5%, as mentioned before, and Asia-Pacific -1%, while North America showed an increase by 1.4%. EBITDA remained comparatively robust at 50.8 million euro against the backdrop of the lower revenue level. Here, both sales mix and a better but still high level of commodity and material costs were supportive. In terms of adjusted EBIT, the first quarter included minor restructuring-related and other non-operating effects, 0.1 million euro each. Therefore, the group posted an adjusted EBIT of 24 million euro, which corresponds to an adjusted EBIT margin of 5.2%, which is close to the prior year level of 5.4%. As I have mentioned, better material cost development counteracted the lower sales. Energy and logistics were slightly better compared to Q1 2023 on a group level. Year-over-year, ramp-ups had a slightly better contribution from major contracts, among others, in the E-Mobility business unit. Because of a noticeably better financial result and lower income tax expenses compared to the prior year Q1, the earnings attributable to ElringKlinger shareholders increased to 13.3 million euro after 6.7 million euro one year earlier. Earnings per share amounted to 0.21. CapEx in Q1 reflects investments related to specific customer projects, including E-Mobility for example. In the area of fuel cell technology, which means our JV subsidiary EKPO, investments were made in connection with a large-scale production order for bipolar plates, which is scheduled to ramp up from 2026, in addition to various development projects. Within net working capital, inventories increased due to both work in progress and finished goods, with the aim to meet all upcoming call-off volumes requested by customers as part of their ongoing schedule arrangements. Trade receivables decreased year-on-year, while trade payables increased, leading to a decrease of net working capital by around 6% compared to March 31st, 2023. Relative to sales, the net working capital ratio improved by 1.2 percentage points to 26.8% compared to 28% one year earlier. Operating free cash flow amounted to -5.8 million euro in the first quarter. This represents a significant improvement on the same quarter of the previous year, despite a slight increase in capital expenditure. Regarding financial leverage, the low level of net financial debt is on a stable footing. Net debt amounted to 329 million euro at the end of the first quarter, significantly lower than the previous years. The net debt to EBITDA ratio stood at 1.7, a visible improvement compared to 2.0 at the end of the first quarter of 2023. As I mentioned before, some changes in call-off volumes from the customers had an effect on Q1 revenue. Overall, the OE segment generated sales of 340 million euro in the first quarter of 2024, and within the segment, we see overall strong ICE business as well as the ongoing ramp-ups in e-mobility business. If we all take together, the earnings contribution on the OE segment has been roughly neutral in the last quarters. With its growth strategy taking effect in several regions, the aftermarket segment saw a further increase in revenue compared to the same quarter of the previous year. Revenue amounted to 90.4 million euro in the first quarter of 2024, a year-on-year increase of 8.7 million euro. An adjusted EBIT amount to around 23 million euros, corresponding to a margin of 25.1%. Revenue of the engineered plastics segment stood at 34.8 million euro in the first quarter. Regarding segment earnings, a further increase in prices for high-performance plastics and higher expenses for R&D as part of the segment's transformation efforts weighed on the margin. Adjusted EBIT was 3.3 million euro after 5.1 million euro one year earlier. Having said this, let me provide some remarks on the market in the current financial year. In the main automotive markets, the projections according to S&P Global Mobility imply flat developments in 2024, with growth of some 2% in China and North America, but decline of 2.2% in Europe. Global light vehicle production is expected at 90.3 million vehicles, a slightly better projection from S&P than we looked at 2 months ago. Yeah, and in this framework, we confirm the outlook for slight organic revenue growth in the fiscal year 2024. For the midterm, we expect that the transition to e-mobility will contribute to further organic revenue growth through ramp-ups, and that growth will be positive for the margin. Regarding the other indicators, the 2024 and midterm outlook is confirmed as well. This year, we expect an adjusted EBIT margin of around 5%. Operating free cash flow for this year is expected at around 2% of group revenue, and ROCE, return on capital employed, at a value of around 6%. Having said this, I'm very happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
We now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may press star one on their touch-tone telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you've entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star two. Participants are requested to use only handsets when asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star one at this time. The first question is from Christoph Laskawi with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one will be on organic growth and the phasing of it. Obviously, you started slow versus the guide of slight organic growth, partially explained obviously because of high comps, which are easing only in the second half. Could you comment, please, on how we should think about the phasing of organic growth into the second quarter and the second half of the year? Is it primarily H2-weighted, or should we expect an improvement already with Q2? And then in the same context, with regards to the outlook, you already started well in margin regards. Then OE currently loss-making, obviously, with organic growth picking up, that should be improving as well. So should we think about the rest of the year as OE is improving and aftermarket sliding slightly down from the currently very high levels? Or is there essentially nothing that should drive down aftermarket in the coming quarters? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your question. The expectation here from the markets is, as we all know, is sort of a flattish sideways movement. Yeah. So when I look at OE sales, you know, and also of course aftermarket sales, then we had a very strong start into the year in the aftermarket, and I would expect a sort of sideways movement here. Right now, going into Q2, maybe with a little bit of a weaker development, but slightly movements, if at all. If we look at OE, then going into the second quarter and also the third and the fourth quarter, it's gonna be a sideways movement here. And there's essentially two areas now where we expect some growth in this year. The one is aftermarket, of course, and we can see it. And then on the other side, we have some ramp-ups here on the e-mobility projects that will contribute. But the question is whether that will overcompensate the general market development. No? So overall, sideways, I'd say, but no big surprises to the upside or downside, in my opinion.
Thank you. As a follow-up to that, when you say sideways, does it mean in absolute levels from where we currently are in Q1, or in terms of year-over-year revenue growth?
I think more in terms of year-over-year. Yeah. But when you say in absolute terms, there is some weakness in the market, sideways, slight growth. So in absolute terms, slight growth, couple of million on a quarterly basis eventually. Yeah.
Thank you. And just on the margin question on aftermarket and OE?
I think that it's going to be corresponding. If we have, you know, we had a very strong start. From a margin perspective, expectation is we are going to be in the area of what we have seen. Yeah. I don't see any, you know, any reason to be having short-term changes to it. But again, we had a very good start.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Marc-René Tonn with Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. Also, with regarding to phasing of profitability, and you mentioned the ramp-up charges compared to the previous year in the first quarter being slightly supportive. Does your view on, and I think the battery cell connector contract ramping up in the second half year, do we expect that there's significantly higher ramp-up costs year over year in the second half? Or has there been, let's say, ramp-up in last year already, which also lead to some kind of a sideways development here as well? And secondly, perhaps, and now perhaps a bit more long-term, let's say as this year is probably kind of transitory, particularly when it comes to the OE margin, where profitability tends to stick around, let's say, break-even level probably for the remainder of this year. How how would you expect that to increase from here, which would be, let's say, significant? Do you need much more sales growth? Is it already next year with, let's say, better revenue contribution from new contracts supporting sales? When and in which magnitude should we expect profitability in the segment to pick up? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your question. I would not expect a significant development on the downside in terms of our ramp-up cost and the negative EBIT contribution here from the startup business units, yeah. But what we see, you know, in inventory, we see here not only, of course, a higher inventory level compared to the previous years here in aftermarket, but we see also more activity in terms of tooling and development, capitalized development cost that will be charged to the customers. Yeah. So what I'm saying is there is more activity that we see here also in the balance sheet in terms of ramp-up activity. I would expect the same level of cost going forward for the foreseeable future, but we see some elements also in terms of some items that will be sold to customers and overall, again, sideways movement here this year. Next year, expectation is there's more sales growth and more contribution margin coming in from those starting projects.
And just as a follow-up, I mean, we all talking about, let's say, this kind of tactical shift to see a bit less demand for EVs currently, a bit more from ICEs. So there's, as you expect this year to be, let's say, around break even for original equipment, also, let's say, no major support to your bottom line from, let's say, a mix shift more to the presumably more profitable ICE components that we should expect.
There is going to be an effect on that. I think that as well. Overall, will we see it? I think it will be a balanced effect, but there is more demand on ICE products, which is helping, of course. But overall, I think it's going to be neutral.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Michael Punzet with DZ Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, Michael Punzet, good afternoon. I have two questions. First one is, you mentioned, let's see, some lower call-offs by your customers. Have you any indication that this will pick up in the second quarter and especially in the second half? And the second question is on e-mobility. I would assume that you are still loss-making. When we should expect a break-even in e-mobility?
Yeah, thank you for your question. On the lower call-offs, is there going to be a pickup expected? I think this is a product mix related question. There is going to be the development in the second half, later in some areas. But is that associated with a short-term pickup that I would expect? No. On the e-mobility side, there's two main areas here, of course. There's EKPO, there's our fuel cell activity, and the fuel cell market, of course, is going to be trailing the battery market. Yeah? So when I look forward and I look at our revenue cycles, then I would see towards 26-ish plus minus a year, I think a more neutral situation here, break-even situation for battery, but not yet at the fuel cell business unit. And therefore, overall, when we take all of it together, it's going to be in the later part of the 20s where we will eventually see a break-even situation here. Yeah.
So for battery e-mobility, you would expect, let's say, to reach break-even 26, 27?
26-ish, I think so.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Akshat Kacker with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Yeslad. Three from my side as well, please. The first one, just on inflation. Could you just talk about your expectations for the full year in 2024? Gross headwinds probably across labor, logistics, freight, but also tailwinds across raw materials and energy, and how do both these buckets pan out? That's the first question. The second one, again, on e-mobility losses, but specifically on 2024, could you just tell us directionally, are those e-mobility losses expanding in 2024, or are they coming down? That would be helpful as well. And the last one on the auto OE margin. I think with the full year results, you did mention that the next step for the business is to achieve 1-2% margin. Is that something that you still plan on achieving in 2025? And how should we think about the step to the 1-2% margins? Could it be loss-making this year? Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for your question. In regard to inflation, yeah, it's exactly like you're saying, huh? It's not only easing in the material area. Nevertheless, we see, you know, in some commodities that we manufacture, we see slight increases and sometimes also higher increases. So I would not say the material side is very much relaxed because we see upticks and in some areas, again, strong upticks. Definitely, labor inflation is a global matter, and this is exactly the point that makes life in 2024 more difficult because there is lesser contribution here from revenue sales, yeah, or revenue growth. On the e-mob, losses would be expanding in 2024, or if losses are expanding in 2024, no. I think, and this is what I tried to say before, no? There is more activity in terms of, you know, selling engineering costs and engineering items and tooling items to the customer. There is more activity coming from the startup of new projects in the upcoming quarters, and I would not expect here that the loss-making situation is gonna be widened. I don't think so. And of course, in terms of auto OE margin, we work very hard on the improvement here. Yeah, right now, we are slightly negative here on OE segment, but we have a lot of activity in regard to that because that is our main point to address that we will be able to achieve a 1% and then later than a 2% margin on OE. Part of it is activity in regard to optimization here in the group, and part of that, of course, is associated with the revenue cycle of the new businesses.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Miro Zuzak with JMS Invest AG. Please go ahead.
Hi, Thomas. Thank you for taking my question. Could you please give us a 2-3-year outlook for the fuel cell stack business in terms of revenue development that you expect?
Yeah, when we look a little bit into the future, we'll see at the end of the period, the 2-3 period that you mentioned, we'll see the start of the contracted series production of bipolar plates, yeah, in that time frame. That is gonna be starting exactly at that point in time. Right now, there is some activity and also contracted business on bipolar plates for electrolyzer systems. My expectation is that that part of the business is gonna be picking up. We have received first orders, and I would expect that we are here also having a good contribution from that side of the business. And if you look at our stacks, you know, from NM5 to NM12 twin, expectation here is that we are more and more going into a little bit larger, small series sales, yeah, and overall then growing the business in terms of the relative low levels that we have today.
Can you please differentiate? So there's, I think, a large contract from Audi over 9 years, like $50 million per annum. When does this one start? And then also basically within the Plastic Omnium joint venture, basically it was once mentioned, not by you, but by your predecessor, that this would be break even at $150 million in sales. Could you give us an idea when we will reach the $150 million in sales, if we are there already?
Yeah, let me say in regard to specific, customers, in some areas we can talk about them, in some areas we can't. No, this is definitely an area where I cannot talk about what customer that is, and I apologize for that. But here we have contractual situations that are not putting us into the situation where we can be more specific, yeah. When we talk about a level of $150 million sales, my expectation is that we will see those levels in a 3 to 4 year timeframe. Yeah. Because, like I said, yeah, when we look at the mass production here, the start of mass production for bipolar plates for a large customer, this is gonna be starting at the end of the 2 to 3 year period. Yeah. And then, of course, it depends on the level of support from electrolyzer business as well as the stack business. No? But my expectation is 4 to 5 years is a reasonable area where we can think about that. But until then, our expectation here is markets will be developing, yeah, and we'll see a lot of activity here in different products that we have and that we offer to the markets, but it's more like smaller production lots, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star one on your telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Jessulat for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you all for your participation. For your information, the next important dates are the annual general meeting on May 16th and our Q2 call on August 7th. Wish you all the best. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.